This is Gina Marie Rodriguez, and you're listening to the Jersey Arts Podcast. I know that the most joy in my life has come to me from my violin. Albert Einstein. An apt quote from a notable yet surprising source. We may not be talking about physics or the sciences today, but it would seem that Einstein himself may have been a fan of today's conversation. In advance of the Harlem Chamber Players program, 100 Years of Women Composers, I spoke with violinist Claire Chan, a member of their string quartet. As their website reads, the Harlem Chamber Players is an ethnically diverse collective of professional classical musicians dedicated to bringing high-caliber, affordable, accessible live music to people in the Harlem community and beyond. The Harlem Chamber Players help build diverse audiences for live classical music through community and educational outreach and collaborations with other arts organizations, schools, and cultural institutions. They also promote community-wide access to the arts and arts inclusion. And in honor of Women's History Month, their program, 100 Years of Women Composers, will grace the stage at Music at Bunker Hill in Sewell on March 17th. Claire Chan is a graduate of Brown University, where she earned musical honors and a Bachelor of Science in Neuroscience. Well, look at that. Maybe science did come up. However, she chose to pursue music, becoming a Doctor of Musical Arts, having earned her master's and doctoral degrees at the Juilliard School as a scholarship student of acclaimed violinist Joseph Fuchs. She went on to teach at the Juilliard School as an assistant to both Professor Fuchs and the Juilliard String Quartet, before serving as faculty in Beijing at the Central Conservatory and the Capital Normal University. She now teaches at Third Street Music School Settlement at the Chamber Music Center of New York, in addition to performing as a member of the Harlem Chamber Players Quartet, the Sweeney Todd Orchestra on Broadway, and the New York City Opera. Her resume is vast, as she boasts having performed with the likes of the Nisel Trio, the Jade String Trio, and artists like Sam Smith, Lady Gaga, Andrea Bocelli, and more. Our brief interview today will simply graze the surface. I hope that you enjoy my conversation with Claire, and then I encourage you to seek out more of her and the Harlem Chamber Players' work.
I'm always really curious as to how an artist finds their instrument. So what is it that led you to the violin in particular?
It's usually a very mundane story, and mine is as well. My mother was a piano teacher, and my sister took piano. My older sister took piano, and I saw how they continuously bickered about, you know, how to play the piano. And so I decided really early on that I was going to choose something different. And I grew up in a suburb of Detroit, and we were going to the Detroit Community Music School. And there were lessons happening, and I was able to sit in on a violin lesson, actually violin and cello. And I just said, okay, Mom, I'd rather play the violin. And she's like, great. And that's how it started.
I don't think that's mundane at all. It actually almost feels like a tale of, I don't want to say spite per se, but that you were avoiding arguments with your mother. So it also sounds like music was never not going to be an option.
That is true. That is true.
So how many siblings do you have?
I have one older sister.
One older sister. Okay. So does she still play?
She doesn't play anymore. She decided that going into high school that she sort of didn't want to play. And so, you know, she went in a different direction, which is fine. Also, my kids who, grew up in the household playing at least one instrument, I think are not deciding to play anymore. So it's all fine.
Well, at least they have a base for it, right? I mean, my base is, when I was a kid, I played piano for a very, very brief period of time. And I think I knew how to play the very beginning of Yankee Doodle, and that's it. And then I gave up because I couldn't make my hands do two separate things at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, left hand is going to do what it wants. And that is the exact same thing that the right hand is doing. So apologies to my piano teacher. There was no way I was going to understand that. But I say all that to say how much I'm enamored with musicians because I love listening to music, but I clearly do not have the dexterity to do it myself. But I was listening to you, some of your videos, your violin videos online, and you're just so talented. And it's such a beautiful instrument, which I feel like I hadn't really noticed before, because it's not an instrument that I hear singled out quite often. So I'm sure that I'll hear it as part of larger pieces, but I personally haven't heard a lot of violin solos. But it was really nice to listen to you.
Oh, thanks.
Of
Yeah, I feel
course.
like the violin is very much an inner voice. It's one of the instruments that can imitate the human voice quite closely. And so your sound and your inflection and all of that is very apparent when you play the violin. So that's one of the reasons why I'm glad I was somehow divinely guided to choose the
That is so cool. I didn't really know that, but it just made me think of, I'm already getting off tangent here, but did you see that viral video of Justin Bieber conducting a live orchestra recently?
No, I didn't. I'm not on a lot of social media, but I'm sorry I missed that one.
No, I don't blame you, but there was a discourse around it where is he really conducting? Does this count as conducting or not? Because he's not classically trained, so he was just mimicking the sounds that he hears in his head and trying to convey those notes to the musicians in front of him in that way. And of course, the musicians could pick it up by ear, and they were playing it back to him, and it sounded beautiful. So I do encourage you to find it if you're at all interested in that. But I was going to
I'll
ask
ask my
your
kids.
opinion. Oh yeah, maybe they've seen it. I saw it. It was, I think, on TikTok or something. Like it must be a part of a documentary or something, but a 1 minute clip had gone viral because he was, forgive me because I am not musically inclined, but he was just doing his ba 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 ba, and then he was expecting the violins to play it back to him, which they did beautifully. But there was a whole discourse surrounding that, like, well, he's not a real conductor. That's not what conductors do. And I was very interested to hear if you've had any experience with someone that you would consider a conductor doing that, feeding you information by their voice. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I mean it happens all the time and in so many different ways. I mean, those of us who are classically trained have a certain vocabulary that we all understand. But when you work with crossover artists, more popular or even Broadway, that language is expanded to, bu bu buzz and a little ta 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 or a little more, So it's all we all just try to communicate somehow, and that's sort of music. I mean, we communicate with body language and sounds and words sometimes, but yeah, it's I think it everything qualifies,
That's a valid note. Everything qualifies. I feel like music, it transcends language, and that's the beauty of it, right? Because you can communicate with people who don't speak the same, verbal language as you do. I love that. You also just mentioned Broadway, and I believe you're currently working on Sweeney Todd, correct?
Oh, it's so much fun. We started last, not this past January, but a year ago January. The show has just been, how can I say it? It's like it's got its own momentum, and it's just there was the creative geniuses behind every aspect of it are just so apparent, from the lighting to the sound to the, of course the cast and of course the orchestra and of course it's just it's an amazing thing to behold, and I love having the conglomerate of all of that around, what all of it around what I do and what everybody does. So it's a lot of fun, and it's special also because the pit sound is acoustic and good. So we're at the Lunt-Fontanne Theater, and we have a 26-piece orchestra, which is quite large for Broadway now, and we get to hear each other acoustically, and even in the house, in the audience, in the front part of it, you get a mix of the acoustic and the amplified sound, which is quite powerful. You feel it viscerally. So, And our cast, of course, is like we have a new cast now, and our old cast was incredible. Our new cast is fantastic. And so, yeah, it's a joy to go to work. I love it.
That's amazing. I'm only
Did I
slightly
talk
jealous.
enough about that?
No, that's great. I'm a huge Sondheim fan. I actually recently saw I saw the show when Josh Groban was still in it, so just before
Oh,
the
yeah.
changeover, I think. But I love Sondheim, and I have to ask, do you have a favorite? I will say, do you have a favorite Sondheim song in general, or do you have a favorite song from Sweeney Todd?
I'd say maybe my favorite is am I gonna say it right even? Nothing's gonna harm you. That's gotta be it just it pulls on my it tugs on my heartstrings, and I it's so beautiful, and it's not just beautiful, it's infused with that sort of danger element. It's not just a comfortable song. It exists on so many different levels in the show and in the ether. So yeah, I guess that's my favorite.
I love that. I don't know that I have a favorite necessarily. I think if I had to choose, probably Pretty Women. But I love the song, Nothing's Gonna Harm You, because it's such a, I mean, it's not necessarily about a parent and a child, but it's about the parental figure and a child. And it's so endearing. Anyway, all of this to say, I love musical theater. And, you know, when I was in high school, I was in two shows. And I always admired those in the pit. Because again, that's not where my talent lies, so I thought it was so cool. But it's extra cool to hear you talk about being in the pit on Broadway, because obviously that's huge, right? That's what so many people aspire to. But I wonder if you'd have you always been a fan of musical theater, or do you prefer classical music?
I have not always been a fan of musical theater. I tend to, I mean, my upbringing was fairly tame, in a suburb of Detroit. There wasn't a lot to do. There wasn't a lot going on. So, basically, I think I'm most interested in what I'm doing at the time. And if you were to ask me what my favorite composer was, it would be equally difficult for me to answer you because it's usually what I'm playing at the time. So, like, I love Broadway. I didn't do it growing up. I only got into it, after moving to New York. I love playing opera. I never did it before I became a member of New York City Opera, and that was a whole new world and a wonderful discovery. I had before that just done symphonies, and I also love chamber music. That's one of my steady, continuous loves.
At this interlude, you're listening to Caroline Shaw's Entr'acte, which you'll be able to hear live at Music at Bunker Hill, part of the program 100 Years of Women Composers.
Let's talk about Music at Bunker Hill. And that performance is 100 Years of Women Composers with the Harlem Chamber Players. So, if you could, please tell me a little bit about what it's like working with that particular quartet and what it's like to work with chamber music.
Yeah, this is a incredibly special group. The Harlem Chamber Players is, diverse in every way, in its players and in its presentation of composers, in its audience. And so this concert, which is 100 Years of Women, is from different ethnicities. We've got Black, we've got Peruvian Chinese, we've got white, we've got Cuban, and honestly, the music is so varied. It's all over the place. It's from, we've got really romantic Florence Price. We've got Rhiannon Giddens, who is more of a crossover pop artist. Valerie Coleman, we're playing her Umoja, which is the title means unity, and it's just this jubilant, just a wonderfully positive peace. And then we've got Gabriela Lena Frank, who takes us on a walk through the Andes. And it's incredible. We've got Tanya Leon, who is her music is being played all over, and she's getting commissions. She's huge right now. She just had I'm blanking on the awards that she's gotten, but just incredible. And we're playing actually her piece called Essentia is one of the most difficult pieces we've had to learn, and not a lot of quartets play it. I think we're probably the only one, and so we love to play it everywhere. The more we play it, the better we get at it, and it's a very unusual voice. She's got all of these composers. We've got Julia Wolf with The Blue Dress, which is also sort of a country crossover contemporary. And so the program is incredibly entertaining, and yet it walks you through history. It's great. It's so I'm very honored to be a part of it, and really happy to be working on all of this, all of these choices of repertoire. I never thought I would be doing this type of music 20 years ago or 30 years ago, and I'm just thrilled to be here doing it.
That program does sound really lovely, and I hate to sound like Lin-Manuel Miranda and say love is love is love is love, but like is music in that, do you feel a special pride when you're playing music written by a female composer that would be different than when you play by a male composer, or is music is music is music?
Music is music is music. And they all have their different facets and expressions and gesture and imagery. And it's just any music has that. And to be able to bring that out is a privilege and an honor. And it is, of course, it's also my voice and the voice of the four of us that come together. So, I don't know what music is. Music is music. Yes.
Well said. I feel that I had to ask that because Women's History Month. So it's that question of, well, is it at all extra special that a woman has composed this for us? But I'm totally on board with what you said. I believe that music is music is music, but I'm grateful that we are taking the time to at least honor these female composers and highlight their work.
Right. Well, the thing is, they're just not always played, and to have them on the same program is what is really special. Florence Price, for example, was the first woman of color who had a piece played by a major symphony orchestra. So it's our job to present these things. They're so special. In each of their own ways, really great stuff. I can't speak more highly of the incredible directions that they all go in, and how they do that in such a special way.
I can tell by the way you speak about them. It's going to be a really, really beautiful program. This is a selfish question. I'm going to ask it, but I have a nephew who is studying. He's actually studying cello right now, but I'm wondering if you have any advice for an aspiring musician, strings or otherwise.
How old is your nephew?
He's 13. Oh my God.
My advice is keep at it. The more you do it, the better you get at it. And I think that was a quote from Robert Mann of the formerly of the Juilliard String Quartet, who just said, keep at, the more you do it, the better you get. You just don't stop. And I think that's true.
I think that makes sense. And it was one of the things I was really bad at. Like I said, when I was learning my C, C, D, E, C, E, D, C, C, D, E, C, B, right? I think I got Yankee Doodle.
You got it.
That's all I remember. And getting me to practice it must have driven my parents up a wall. They bought me a piano and everything. And I think I practiced maybe once a month. So, there's... There's reasons why I'm not a musician. Again, all that to say, I know how much practice it should take. I know how hardworking musicians really are to master their craft. So, all of the applause for you, because I clearly did not have it in me to do it myself. Let's say this. The show is coming up, and I always ask this question because I'd like to invite audiences who aren't perhaps typically interested in or aware of chamber music. So I'd like to, for those listening, invite those who are unaware. How would you encourage someone who maybe is feeling like they're not quite ready for chamber music? How would you encourage someone who's never experienced it before to come and see this show?
I'd say, give it a go. We our program is such that I think there's something for everyone. And instead of 30 minutes of a four movement work, we've got short movements of different styles and really something for everyone. So come.
So it's a little more eclectic.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I mean, I hope that this does open up those who've never seen chamber music before. I am one of those people. I really haven't seen it live. So hopefully some people will be bold and try something new. And for those who are fans already, the Harlem Chamber Players will be at Music at Bunker Hill on March 17th. So that's really exciting. And it has been a pleasure speaking with you, Claire. Thank you so, so much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
I have one minor correction to address. You'll have to forgive Claire and I. In our excitement for Sondheim's work, we confused a lyric for a song title. Claire's favorite Sweeney song is entitled Not While I'm Around, whereas Nothing's Gonna Harm You is a lyric from the song. I hope that doesn't detract from the brilliance of the piece. I would encourage you to listen to that and my favorite, Pretty Women. Perhaps you'll fall in love with Sweeney Todd the way that Claire and I have. And to get your taste of chamber music, whether new or a longtime fan, you can see Claire and her Harlem Chamber Players family on March 17th at 3 p.m. at the Bunker Hill Presbyterian Church in Sewell, New Jersey. For more information, be sure to visit music@bunkerhill.org. If you liked this episode, be sure to review, subscribe, and tell your friends. A transcript of this podcast, links relevant to the story, and more about the arts in New Jersey can be found at jerseyarts.com. The Jersey Arts Podcast is presented by Art Pride New Jersey, advancing a state of creativity since 1986. This show was co-founded by and currently supported by funds from the New Jersey State Council on the Arts, with additional support from the National Endowment for the Arts. This episode was hosted, edited, and produced by me, Gina Marie Rodriguez. Executive producers are Jim Atkinson and Isaac Cernadiaz. And my thanks to Claire Chan for speaking with me today. I'm Gina Marie Rodriguez for the Jersey Arts Podcast. Thanks for listening.